Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen. Let's give him a praise this morning. Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I literally just told my husband, I'm not going to use this because I have this problem with a mic and I feel like I get distracted because I talk with my hands. And then I thought, it's fine. If I have to overcome that while I'm there, that'll be good. It will be fine. So, sorry, I didn't mean to change on you last minute, but there we go. This is a little bit of the beginning of my lesson for the women's retreat. I'm teaching a session, the last session on Saturday morning, so before we close. So what the topic of the women's retreat is he makes all things beautiful in his time. Isn't that a beautiful topic? Isn't that so beautiful? So I didn't know where else to go but the book of Ruth. There's a couple of things that just really strike home with me. The book of Ruth, Genesis 3. These are things I cannot get away from, you know. And I did try. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to teach on the book of Ruth. I know the book of Ruth. I've taught on it a lot because I love it. It's kind of good. And I thought all these other things. I even told Sister Michelle one day in prayer meeting. She was like, well, what are you going to teach about? And I gave her this whole other lesson. And the Lord was like, quit playing games. Get on the book of Ruth. And I was like, amen. So that's where I've been. That's where we're going to be teaching this morning. Sister Williver also asked if the Lord led for me to share my testimony. So if the Lord would be pleased, then I'll do part of that this morning as well. So let's go to Ruth chapter 1. So Ruth is a familiar book for all of us. I'm particularly fond of it. I named my daughter after her because I thought she was so fabulous. Ruth just holds a special place in my heart. And what I realized as the Lord had asked for me to share my testimony and I reread the book of Ruth, I realized I share so many things in Ruth's testimony. That's why I go back to it so often. I'm so encouraged by Ruth because I can relate to so many things that Ruth did and so many things that happened to Ruth. So let's just set the stage. So Naomi and her husband were in Bethlehem, Judah. They were in the promised land. They were there. They were surrounded by the brotherhood. We could say rainbows and butterflies, it felt at a time, right? Then something happened. A famine happened and hit the land. And they decided, it's not good for me to be here. I need to go to Moab. Well, what do we know about Moab? Where does Moab come from? The incest relationship of Lot and one of his daughters. And so what we begin to see is they left a place where the brotherhood was, where the word was, and they went all the way to a place that was really the root of that place, the beginning of that place was of an ancestral relationship. And what really happened, if you go back and study Lot and his daughters had some pride of redemption to say, oh, I'll fix the problem. I'll get my father drunk and then I'll lay with him and then produce seed. And they began to take their own redemption, their own revelation of what was going to happen. So that's the birthing place of the place they decided to go and lay their head. So we know that Naomi's husband and her two sons get married. Naomi's husband and two sons end up dying. Well, they get married while they're there. This is where Ruth comes in. Ruth is one of the Moabite women that Naomi's son married. So it's her daughter-in-law. So what we see is all Ruth has known is this Moabite place. This place, if you go and study it, they were polytheist. So they had all kinds of gods. They didn't believe that there was one God that we serve, like they knew in Bethlehem, Judah. They served all kinds of God, meaning there was all kinds of idolatry in the land. There was all kinds of idolatry. There was all kinds of wickedness. Now, we can look at our day today and say, we can walk out of these doors, and although we believe that there's one God that we serve, we're all sweating this morning because we're giving everything we have to praise God. But we walk out those doors, and we begin to see a lot different land where they serve and worship anything that will satisfy their pleasure, just like Sister Kara was talking about this morning. And so that's all that Ruth knew. But what was really beautiful is we begin to see something different in Naomi. And let's go, are we in Ruth chapter 1? Yeah. All right, let's go down to verse 8. No, I'm sorry, let's go up to verse 6. And this is talking about Naomi. So her sons have died. Her husband has died. She has lived, we know, for a time here in Moab. In verse 6, it says, and she, talking about Naomi, arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return. First, she arose up and said, wait a minute, something isn't what it should be. Something isn't right where I am, and I need to, something has got to change. I can't live in this place where there's idolatry, where there's all these things coming at me all the time, and then expect to live a separated walk. These two things cannot go together. James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in his ways. We can't live constantly surrounded by all this idolatry and then expect to be able to be close to the Lord. We have to separate ourselves. We can look back at Luke chapter 15 and the prodigal son. Right after he came to himself, you know what he did? In Luke 15:20, it says, and he arose. And he arose, and that was the start of his journey. Something inside of him said, wait a minute, there's no need for me to sit here in this pig pen and eat the way that I'm eating and do the things I'm doing. This is nuts. So he got himself up. And that's exactly what Naomi did. Naomi, this word here for arose is kum. So she arose. Kum is the Hebrew word. And this means to become powerful. She wasn't like, oh, I think maybe today is the day. Maybe. No, she came up with something. To become powerful, to be fixed, to establish, and to cause to stand. Naomi took a stand. And that return is the return that we all know, the shoot. Go back to the starting point. She said, something isn't right. And something inside of her rose up and said, no more. Today is the last day that I surround myself in idolatry. Today is the last day. Now, we can see a lot from Naomi because she didn't just go, okay, well, I'm going to slip out in the middle of the night so nobody sees me and nobody will miss me. I'm just going to roll out and just went on her little way. No, she stood up and took her two daughters-in-law with her. So although she was in a place of idolatry, we can see the testimony of Naomi ministering to her two daughters-in-law because they began to follow after her. So this testimony, even in the midst of idolatry and pride, there was something about Naomi that these two women wanted to follow. And we're going to keep reading here in verse 6. And she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return back to the starting point from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. What really shook her to change? The desire for the bread. Something, the famine, she knew the famine had to be over because there was bread. But this same bread is the same bread that was in Exodus 16, that the heavenly bread that came down from heaven, that was to feed the children of Israel, that was supposed to give them all of their substance, that the children of Israel then looked at and said, what in the world are you doing? And just ask a bunch of questions. Then they called it manna. This is the same word for bread. She got a taste of that bread that she'd already had when she was in Bethlehem, Judah before. And she knew, wait a minute, that's what caused her to rise up inside, because she heard of the bread and already had an experience with being fed with that bread. Isn't that good? Now, this bread, if you look it up, it means to make war. Yes. This wasn't just she was hungry and needed her belly full. To overcome. To devour. So what caused Naomi to rise up was because this warfare bread was being set out on the table. And she said, wait a minute, I've warred for way too long in the place that I am, living the way that I'm living. It's time for me to go back to the place where I know I can be fed. And I know this bread, what the bread was supposed to do was supposed to go and fight for them. But instead, they went and fight against the bread and said, oh, I don't want to bend down and pick it up. It's so lowly. It's round. It's white. It's hard. What am I supposed to do with this? But no, Naomi had a different experience with the bread, because it's what caused her to say, nope, something is, I'm going back to that warring bread, that bread that's where when everything is going so wrong, I can eat that warfare bread and I can be filled and I can have the strength to stand. Jesus. Hey. So that's the contrast that we're seeing in the story of where she is and in this one verse, this experience that she's having and this that's drawing her back. So now we go, and when Naomi begins to say, all right, I'm going to make the choice to leave. I know that there's warring bread that's in Bethlehem and I'm going back to where I need to be. The two daughters-in-law start to follow with her. And Naomi took her to, this is in verse 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you, so that ye have dealt with the dead and with me. In so many words, you've been really good to me. It's fine. Just go back to your parents. No harm, no foul. It ain't gonna hurt my feelings a bit. Y'all go on. And both of the women said, wait a minute, Naomi, there's something about you that I kind of like. There's something about you that I kind of want to be around. Because these women knew this, we read the Bible. Okay, I read the Bible and I think, oh yeah, they're in Moab. They're going to go to Bethlehem. It's kind of like hopping in my car, going from the church back to my house, right? I don't relate. It was a 30 to 50 mile treacherous terrain, very extremely dangerous for these women to even go. They literally had to go around like a mountain terrain and walk through Jordan to be able to go. I don't think I think it's the Dead Sea and then the River Jordan. But they had to go and they had to walk around it, and there's all this treacherous terrain. So these women weren't like, oh yeah, it's fine. I'll hop in the car, turn the AC on, turn the music up. We'll have a great road trip. Ladies trip. No, this was like, no, we coming with you, Mom. Like, we're in for the long haul. Well, as we know, Orpah was able to be swayed in her decision. Orpah said, after a while, Naomi kept saying, okay, are you going to come? Come on, y'all can just go back to your own. And Orpah kisses her mother-in-law and says, you know what? I see what you're saying, but it doesn't mean that much to me to go through all of that effort. But Ruth had a different experience. Skip down and let's read verse 14. And this is after Naomi said, in verse 13, she said, listen, ladies, if I were to marry right now and have a son, would you want to wait for that son to be raised up? And you have to wait all this time and then raise up the seed for your husband that died? Like, girls, this is crazy. She's trying to like rationalize, like, this is crazy. Just stay here. It's not a bit, like, you're okay. Make your decision to stay. And 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Ruth said, no chance. The bread that you have given me is not something that I'm willing to give up on. The bread that you have fed me is not something that I'm willing to turn my back on. I haven't had the experience of being in Bethlehem, Judah, but you have fed me enough bread for me to know that's where I want to be. Isn't that awesome? Just off the testimony that Naomi had. So in verse 15 of Ruth chapter 1, it says, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back into her people and into her gods. Return with thy sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I go. Whether thou lodgest, I lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Whether thou diest, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught be the death to part me and thee. She said, quit messing around. I'm going where you're going. Don't ask me no more times if I'm doing something different. I am going where you are going. And the part when Sister Williver said, will you share a part of your testimony? I told Sister Melina this before. I just feel like I got that fabulous of a testimony. Like, I was born in the message, I'm just here. Just show up and keep on going. But this right here of Ruth is where I'm like, dude, I feel that. You know what, enemy? Quit playing games with me. Quit acting like I'm going anywhere else, because this is where I'm meant to be. I've got a taste of this warfare bread, and I am not going anywhere. Jesus, to God be the glory. I don't want to scorn that heavenly bread from heaven. I want to be dependent on that heavenly bread from heaven. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, Lord, I could tell stories that make me just sit up here and weep. And I have, just thinking back, because I think, to me, it's nothing. It's the opportunity I've had to make a choice. You know, but I remember one time, me and my husband and I were trying to make a choice, and my little Abel, we left a place that, you know, seemed like really, really good. And we got the opportunity to choose, no, I want heavenly bread from heaven. And naturally, it felt like a 30-mile truck, treacherous road. Because you know what? Naomi might have walked all the way from Moab all the way back to Bethlehem. But I remember putting Abel in the car, 30 weeks pregnant, driving over to Owensboro, making the choice to say, no, I want this heavenly bread. I've got to have this. I don't care what it cost me. I'm doing it. And Abel would kick and scream. We'd pull out of the driveway and he'd say, I want to go that way. We said, no, son. It's not the way we go. We go this way. And he cried the whole way to church, tears just streaming down our face the whole way. And we said, I don't. This walk, this treacherous road back, it feels really, really hard, but Lord, there is nothing. That's how I felt. I felt like Ruth in that moment, to say, hey, entreat me not to leave you, Lord, because I'm coming. If that's where your headship is, if that's where you're at, if that's where you want me to be, I don't care the pain that it costs me for a moment, because in the end, it's worth every single tear. It's worth every single pain. And we just let him cry. We just cried ourselves, let him cry. I can't imagine what that walk back to Bethlehem looked like for Ruth and Naomi. Two women on a super hard way. I imagine as they were going, there were some times that they're like, man, my feet probably hurt. Man, this is a little tired, but they never stopped. They never quit halfway through the journey and set up camp. No, you know what, Ruth, it will read on, because it said in verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. When Naomi saw, man, this ain't nothing going to change this girl's mind. This girl has made a decision. That steadfastly minded means to be strong, to be brave, both physically and mentally. She's like, Ruth, you got something rose up inside of Ruth to say, quit acting like I'm doing anything but exactly what the Lord wants me to do. And so what happens? Naomi left speaking unto her. That speaking is Dabar. Of course it is, right? What do we know about Dabar? You don't understand it. It's the word that you do not understand. It's, if you look it up in your concordance or your concordance, it means to promise. You ever got a promise from the Lord and you just do not understand it? Like, he says he's going to do something and you think, that is so far from anything I could ever imagine. We didn't understand it. We don't have the practical application to go with it. It's words that we don't understand. So keep your tab in Ruth. Let's go over to Hebrews 4:12 and talk about this Dabar word for a second. It felt like, y'all been in seasons where you feel like you've got some Dabar word. You stepped out in faith and you said, Lord, I know I'm doing what you want me to do, but there are dots are not connecting. There are promises scattered all around and I just don't see them all coming together in one. And that's, we we're in the most exciting place for the Lord just to pick up and to bring to life the things that he has for us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Is everybody there? I'll read for us. For it is written, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart." That word there that is here in Hebrews 4:12, that's Dabar word. Not only is Dabar word this. Sometimes it's word that we don't understand. Lord, I don't know why you put me through what you put me through. We have a choice right then. Are we going to take the heavenly bread that the Lord has given us from heaven and act like the children of Israel and say, why are you doing it this way? Are we going to be like Ruth and say, no, I've made my choice. And nothing is going to change me to follow after the Lord, whether I understand it or I don't understand it. And what will happen is when we accept that Dabar word, it becomes that quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing us under. So what begins to happen is it begins to cut off, even when we don't understand it. God is that good. That is so good. You think, oh, well, I have to totally comprehend so that I can go out and do all of these things. Oh, no, you're not near that important, right? Like, I mean, the Lord loves you and you're important to the Lord. But you don't have to have it all figured out before you can go and grow up in God. Just being under the word and letting the word minister to you, is that word in itself is going to begin to cut things off and begin to, that's what Naomi did to Ruth. She went in this 30 to 50 mile of treacherous road when I can imagine it was lonely and cold and they had to be scared at points. It was a very dangerous road. She began to give her all of these words, spoke all of these words to Ruth as they walked. And so now let's flip to Ruth chapter 2, because we begin to see, well, now Ruth and Naomi have made it back to Bethlehem. They have made it back to the spot that they were intending to. And we begin to see what the fruit of Ruth begins to see. So Ruth chapter 2, verse, let's read verse 2 and 3. "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whom sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came to glean and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz, which was a kindred of Elimelech." So, number one, Ruth had Dabar word as she began to leave. She walked out with Dabar word. But what do we see when Ruth gets to Bethlehem? She puts some word in action. She said, wait a minute, you've taught me about this gleaning principle. This is, just pretend like these are not feathers, right? So you began to tell me, Naomi, about this gleaning principle, and I didn't just walk this 50 miles really, really hard and go through this dry season to come to Bethlehem and just sit on my tuchus, right? And just rest on my laurels. She didn't come to church on Sunday morning and say, well, I'm here. That should be good enough. I trucked all the way from the house. I had to get up. I had to get dressed. I drove all the way here. Here I am. This is good. No. She said, okay, is it time for me to go glean yet? Can I get out and go take this Dabar word that you have been feeding me all of this way and put it into Amar word, which is word I do understand? What's the difference? It's word that has an experience with it. It's word that I can say, now listen, I can tell you about that because I walked through that. I've literally seen that scripture come to life in my walk. Ruth said, man, something inside of me, all that word that you have given me, I cannot keep it in there. I have got to go out and be a doer of the word. And now, I feel like this is important. And I know this is one of those things that everybody's going to be like, yeah, we know. We've been taught about it for a long time. Well, that's good. Y'all can just amen me then. So this gleaning is not something that's usual. What when she says, let me go out and glean, let me go out and do what you've been talking to me about doing. I think this is cool. So let's go to Deuteronomy 24. Because you know what? If we don't, Deuteronomy 24, let me give you this, 19 is where we're going. If we don't begin to take the word, the Dabar word that we don't understand, but that we have been so freely given, and we don't start to do something with that word, it, you know what it's going to do? It's going to cause bitterness and hate and anger. Then we start to be like those churches in Revelation and say, well, you know what? This is what the word says, and you should live that way, when you know you ain't living that way yourself. You ain't even trying to do none of that stuff, but you're holding that candlestick so far over to them that it shines on them. You can't see it. You better get a stretch, right? Get you a selfie stick to stretch that light over there so it don't light on you, right? No, we've got to get in the word. Acts 17:11 commends the Bereans for going, that they accepted the word with all readiness of heart. They were like, it doesn't matter if it's Dabar. I love the word. I want the word. But you know what they did after? They searched the scriptures daily to believe that it was so. They went and they said, okay, that was powerful, Brother Wells. You preaching some good stuff on Sundays. I see you. That was good. They didn't go home and take a nap. No, they went home and said, okay, he preached that. Now let me see it for me. Let me take that Dabar word that he just gave me, and let me make it to Amar word that I can eat. That's that breaking up down of that grain so that we can feed on it. And I say all that because I can speak freely, because we're all in the crucified way message here. Well, I just gave myself permission. Y'all didn't even ask y'all, but I'm going to speak freely. There's so many things that we have learned throughout the years, and it is easy to just say things. Oh, well, yep, the four corners. Yep, Ruth gleaned in them four corners. But have you ever looked and found the four corners in the Bible for yourself? This is many, many years ago. I went and I thought, you know what? I should look that up. I love Ruth. I can talk about Ruth. I love Ruth. I got it. So let's read this in Deuteronomy and see what we find. Y'all in Deuteronomy 25? Well, I'm in 25. Y'all flip over one more. Yeah, I wrote 24, but I'm actually in 25. That's fine. I'll wait for you. I ain't in no rush. Okay, y'all flip back to 24. 25's right here. 25's right here. I just looked at it. Now, see, the enemy thought he had us, thought he was trying to get us disunified, and we said, no, no. We go into 24:19. All right, y'all there? Okay, good. Me too. And when they cut down thine harvest in thy fields, the harvest forgot a sheaf in the field, and thou shalt not go again to fetch it. And it shall be for the stranger, and for the fatherless, and for the widow, and the Lord thy God may bless thee in the works of thine hands. Now, wait a minute. So we have the stranger. We have the fatherless. And we have what? But I thought we always had four. Yeah. Right? You ever think, well, that's weird. No worries. You don't have to be scared. Let's go to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verse 9. I'll start while you're going there. Leviticus 19:9. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field. This gives us more of a description. In the previous one, it says, when you go, only go once. Don't go back over it. Just go once. If you leave some stuff, just let it be. But this is telling us, when they go to reap, don't reap the corners of the field, neither shall thou gather the gleaning of thy harvest. For thou shalt not glean the vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard, and thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now, the stranger's already here, but what did we just find? The poor. So we found that there's some things inside, but they're also supposed to leave. Now, this is something, and I know you already know this. I'm not even trying to tell you something you didn't know. I'm just trying to encourage you. So what we began to see is when this is what Ruth did. That's why we took a second to do that. Ruth walked and got this word given to her, but this is searching the scripture. If I didn't know that both of those scriptures went together to show me the entire picture of what it looked like, what this law of gleaning looked like, would I be like, well, I was taught wrong my whole life. I guess if that's taught wrong, everything's taught wrong. Well, boom, just unravel that string all the way out for something silly, right? And you think, oh, that would never happen to me. If you don't beat out the word for yourself, it sure will happen to you, right? And so we can have confidence, because what I love about the Crucified Way message is this right here is the ultimate rule. I can find anything that I've ever been taught. And you know why I know that? Because it has been my duty to, when I hear somebody teach it, that I go home and I say, now let me see that. Okay, I see that. Now how did they get from there to here? Okay, yes, Lord, I see that. And you know what? Sometimes I don't see the whole picture of why they did what they did, but I can get the idea enough to believe that it is the truth and to see that that is a true principle, because it is here in the word and it's here in the word, and I see those connections. But we only are able to do that when we're familiar with the word. And so Ruth took that Dabar word and made it just like we just did into word that she understood, and she was eager to get out and to begin to glean. You know, she didn't get there and say, well, we really are poor strangers with no father, and boy, you're a widow. This is terrible. You know, like, we fit every single box. This is bad. We are bad. This is bad. You're bad. We're bad. This is terrible. We have no food. No, she was like, I can't wait to get out and glean. And thank God he has made provision for me. Thank God that he has given me the place that I can go and I can serve and I can pick up. And I cannot wait to fellowship with these same people, because they're the people that are going to be right there with me in the field. She didn't scorn it. She embraced it and was excited about the opportunity to get out there and to glean in the field. And so she did. She went out in the field, got in the lowly place, and started to pick up. Right. And man, that's hard work. This isn't like she went down to the gas station, swiped her debit card, and said, all right, I'll bring some bread back. She went up and she worked in every corner, and she worked in the field. And if you can read it, it says she didn't even take many breaks. She didn't take many breaks. She was out there in the field working hard the whole time. You know, she had to be doing it with an attitude that was pleasing to the Lord, because she didn't quit. She didn't every 5 minutes say, oh man, this is bad. This is bad. This man that the Lord's given me is terrible. You know, hey, that is what it looks like sometimes when I go through stuff. I'm like, yes, Lord, thank you for letting me glean here. Oh man, this is bad. Lord, I don't know when you're going to take me out of this situation. This is terrible. I'm in the press. Ouch. This hurts. Okay, I'll pick up one more. No, she was like, yes, I can't wait to work. I'm excited. Oh, I'm in the press. Praise the Lord, I'm in the press. I can glean in these places that the Lord has had me, because once he gets me out of these places, I can't glean in that place anymore. Once he gets me out of this place, I can't glean in that specific place anymore, right? Only when we're in these poor, stranger, fatherless widow. Once he takes us to this exalted place, there's a different thing he has for us. Will he bring us back here? Absolutely he will. Absolutely he will. But for a different piece of bread. For a different thing in that season. I only have so much time to get down here and say, yes, Lord, I want what you have for me in this season. If that means I've got to crawl down on the ground and pick up everything that they just left behind, let me do it with joy and with gladness. And you know what was so beautiful is Ruth doing this began to make her beautiful. You're like, she is in the field gleaning. That's hard work. What is beautiful? No, no. She might not have been beautiful on the outside. I'm sure she was sweaty and dirty and kind of a mess. Really? But the inside of her was becoming beautiful. And let's read here in Ruth chapter 2. And let's read in verse 5. So Boaz comes up and he says, then Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, he says, who is that whose Danzel is that? He said, wait a minute. There's all these people in this field, and that's fine. They're supposed to be there. But something about that lady right there. Something about that lady. You know, she looked different because she was a Moabite. She wasn't of the children of Israel. But he said, wait a minute. Something's different about her. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess Danzel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves so that she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, and she tarried a little in the house. The reaper said, man, she came up. That's a girl that came with Naomi. She came up and said, hey, can I reap in these lowly places? And we said, sure. And man, she's a worker. Our girl's a worker. She's been out there the whole time, hardly come in the house. They began to speak of her beauty. They could have said what they could. They were being true. They had no reason to say something good about Ruth. They had no connection. They had no reason to try to get them connected. What you know what I'm saying? That was the purest testimony. And that's all Ruth said. Hey, can I come glean in the lowly places in your field? Do you mind if I just come and gather up some? Oh, yeah, sure. That's the only talk they ever had with her. But what were they saying about her? Man, I'm with you, Boaz. Something different about that girl. Something different about the way that she does things. She's out there. She's working. Then Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither from hence, but abide fast with my maidens. He said, don't go anywhere else. Stay right here. That fast is the same word for glued. That she said that she was clave, that Ruth clave to Naomi. It's the same word. Because Ruth clave to Naomi, now Boaz is saying, oh, come and cleave. Come be glued in my field. Don't you go nowhere else to glean. You stay right here and glean. Now we're gonna, this is so good. We're gonna drop down to verse 11. And Boaz answered unto her, and it has been fully shown me that what thou hast done unto thy daughter, unto thy mother-in-law, since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and thy land of thy nativity, and art come into the people which thou knowest not herefore. So what did Boaz say? It's been shown all to me. It's been shown to me. I can see all of your labors as you've been gleaning. The humility was the beauty that drew her bridegroom into her. The fact that when she got that heavenly bread from heaven, she didn't take it and wonder why and complain and murmur, but she said, Lord, what an opportunity. Thank you for that choice. And she didn't go pursue Boaz, but because of the beauty of her humility, Boaz said, out of all of y'all, what's with her? What's with her? Stay with me. Isn't that so beautiful? That made known is Nagad. And it means when it says that he answered that it had been made fully known or fully shown to me. That means that by to stand boldly out as an opposite. She stood out boldly against everybody else that was in that field. Something inside stood out about her that drew her bridegroom to her, that said, wait a minute, there's something different. We say we want to be lights of Jesus Christ. If we will really live like lights of Jesus Christ, people will see the beauty of our relationship and say, now wait a minute, there's something different about you. When everybody's having get a bad email at work, or somebody says something sassy, you glean different than everybody else gleans. Yeah. Something about you, you say, thank you, Lord, when everybody else is saying cuss words. Yeah. Something's different about the way that you just do your life. And I've seen you go through some stuff. I've seen you be in the low place, but still something's different about the way you do your life. That's what attracted Boaz to Ruth. Now, I'm almost finished. Just for good measure, I have to tell you this. That Nagad the law of first mention is important when you're studying Hebrew words. The context around where it was first mentioned gives you a more robust understanding of what the word means. The very first word, when Boaz said, it has been made known to me that you have, and which means that she stood apart boldly, right? It's been made known to me. The first time that that word was ever used in Scripture, Genesis 3:11. That's good, isn't it? I'll read it for you because we're almost done. And this is in the garden. And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? For thou hast eaten of the tree wherein I have commanded thee not to eat?" That who told thee? Who made it known to you? Who set apart oppositely of what you were supposed to be doing? What began to happen? Do you see what this is? The two sides of the scales. We can do what they did in the garden and go against what God said, or we can have the example of Ruth and say, "Oh no, set me apart so that I draw in the bridegroom and I don't draw in the head of deceit to me." That is good. That's where our choice comes in. It's not that we have to know all these things so that we can go do all these things. No, it's so that we can say, "Lord, set me apart so that the things that my fruit is attracting my bridegroom, that my bridegroom is the one that's looking on me." It's not the serpent in the garden that's coming to eat because I was really deceptive. I thought that was just really powerful. All right, the last thing here, if we're going to go... to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. And just say amen when you get there. All right, we got one person there. We're going to read that together this morning as we close. Everybody ready? Okay, first word is "he hath." He hath made. Everybody got it? Okay. All right, let's read it together, for it is written, "He hath made Amen. Let's praise him for his word. Jesus. That word, "every," he hath made everything beautiful in his sight, is it means the whole thing. The absolute complete, the whole thing. When Boaz told Ruth, "It has been shown me all," it was the whole thing. Same word. So what we're saying is that what made Ruth beautiful was the inside out that began. The choice that she made all the way back in Moab to say, "Yes, I want that heavenly bread. Yes, I want to take that Dabar word and to beat it out and to glean even when it's not pretty, even when it's hard, even when I'm trucking 30 to 50 miles on a treacherous journey, I still choose Jesus. I choose my bridegroom." And in the very end, you can go and read the rest of the book of Ruth because it is a powerful tale. But in the end, not only did she attract and get favor from Boaz, but he became her kinsman redeemer. He became her kinsman redeemer. And the fruit of Ruth and Boaz was David. Right. And she, because of her stand, because of the walk, I would imagine had not until she got on the other side of heaven was able to see really the impact that she had in the choice to say. I imagine Ruth was kind of like me to say, "What? It's not that big of a deal. I just came with Naomi." You know, I think she was like, "I don't have anything fancy. I don't really have a powerful testimony of like, I was this way and then the Lord changed me and I was this way." Those are powerful. But Ruth really had that. But the humility that she spoke with and walked with, I imagine that she was just like, "You know what? I'm just grateful to have been able to make the choice. I'm grateful to have been able to have the opportunity to follow." And the beauty of her testimony just weeps through the pages of the Bible. So I'm so grateful for the book of Ruth. So give your hand for your pastor as he comes this morning.
Praise God. Wasn't that powerful? Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to be set apart. Amen. I want to be set apart. I want to look totally different from the world. Thank you, Jesus. Whew, praise God. That's so good. Amen. I'm grateful. When you hear some of these powerful truths, you know, some of these foundational things, talking about gleaning in the corners. Thank you, Lord. It's we can always glean from gleaning. Come on. I know I'm a comedian. You don't have to tell me. I don't need your laughs. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. It's been so good this morning. We look forward to coming back tonight. If we could, let's stand this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. And let's just give him another shout of praise today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's all pray together as we dismiss today. Lord God, we are so grateful, Lord, for your word today, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, that we can find an example, Lord, to be like Ruth. Lord, as we want to clave to you, Lord God, Lord, and we want to glean where you put us, Lord God, and where you have us. Thank you, precious Lord, for this word today. Lord God, seal it in our hearts this morning, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for what you have put, Lord God, a testimony in our hearts, Lord God, to choose you. And this morning we choose you all over again. Oh, precious Lord God, we ask as you pour back in to Sister Wells this morning, Lord, pour, Lord, Rabba Sabahaya Riska Bosia. Lord, encourage her today, Lord God, Rabba Sita Rabahoya. Lord, and our women, Lord God, as they go, Lord, this week, Lord, Rabba Shkoya. Lord, we love you this morning. Lord, we ask, Lord, for your journey. We ask for your mercy, Lord God. Lord, and we pray for our leaders this morning, Lord God, that you would continue to strengthen the hedge round about. Lord, we love you. And it's in Jesus' holy, righteous name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless thee. Praise God. Excuse me. We'll start over. Lord, bless thee and keep thee. Lord, make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Lord, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And I shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's take a minute and bury the seed. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. We thank you, Jesus, Lord, for your blessing today. Lord, we want to be a doer of your word. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let us bury these seeds, oh, precious Lord God. Lord, is the enemy so quick, Lord, to devour these seeds of truth. We thank you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name.